Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. This morning we look to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, as follows. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Here ends our text. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who once said, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it," dear fellow redeemed. Would you ever think of bringing an animal into church? Not an idle question, although it seems rather an odd one. God's house is such a holy place, a place for reverence and worship. The idea of bringing animals into church seems rather strange. It's happened, though, happened here a couple of years ago. We had a visitor from the neighborhood who stopped in for worship and had a largish tote or a backpack with her, and I didn't find out until after the service that in the backpack she had a small dog. She explained that it was a service dog and that it had been prescribed for her to help allay the anxiety that she felt when she was in public places. Well, I'm the last person to criticize someone for bringing a service dog into church, but it did seem like kind of an odd thing to think about, and it leads us to ask a very serious question. Is there something different about this building, this place where we come together to worship on Sundays? Is there something different about God's house compared to, say, my house or your house? Something so that we are especially reverent here, that we so respect this place that there's no other place on earth that we regard more highly? Well, it might not seem logical at first. This certainly, as a structure, is not particularly impressive. I think this might be the smallest church in Tacoma. But it is God's house. And according to our text for today, that makes it unique in several important ways. Perhaps this is a subject you haven't given much thought to for a while, so it's good for us to listen to what Jesus has to say about church. This morning we consider the theme, God's house is a very special place, for at least three reasons. Because it's a place where profit is absent, it's a place where prayer is accepted, and a place where praise is offered. It was Monday of Holy Week. Jesus was just days away from the crown of thorns and the cross. He was in the temple with his disciples on this particular morning. And as he walked into the temple, his eyes met a sight that defies description. Penned up in the entryway of the temple, in God's house itself, were pens full of sheep and oxen and goats. There were cages full of doves. All of these were animals, of course, that were required for the ritual Jewish sacrifices. So certainly it was necessary to have these animals available somewhere near the temple. What was completely unnecessary and an affront to God was that they had been brought right into the temple itself. The leaders of the Jews had decided to turn God's house into a sale barn to move the animals needed for the sacrifice right into God's house so that they could control and gain the profit from all of the sales. On top of this, they were doing a thriving business as a currency exchange, changing money for the people from out of town who needed to offer the temple tax, which was a half shekel. And so they provided that service as well for a fee. In short, what Jesus saw that day was a church that was completely full of the profit motive. And Jesus was enraged. He drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Profit, money, greed. If all of this sounds familiar to you, I'm not too surprised, because the profit motive seems to govern just about everything in our country today, doesn't it? Particularly now that economic times are difficult, companies very often are trimming their workforce, the most expensive part of any business, the human resources. So we're losing jobs, and unemployment seems to be stuck at a very high level. The profit motive may govern many things in our world, but there is one place, the Lord says, where it is to be entirely absent, and that's in God's house. People often ask me why CLC churches don't put on spaghetti feeds and soup and sandwich suppers and hold bake sales like so many other churches do, why we don't sell candy door to door and have car washes and engage in all the gimmicky fundraising that other churches frequently do. And there's an easy answer, because that's not the church's job. Our job is to deliver the gospel, the precious good news that through Jesus Christ, eternal salvation can be found. That's what we have to offer people, not cakes or quilts or bingo prizes. We dare not let God's house become just one more place in this world where everyone is scrambling for every available dollar. Describing the mission of the church, the Apostle Paul said, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." With this fiery outburst of anger, Jesus defended the honor of God's house. He showed that this is one place at least where the human profit motive should be absent. A house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And that brings us to the second point that makes God's house such a unique place, and that is, it's a place where prayer is answered. The merchants and the money changers offered no prayer to Christ. They didn't believe he was the Christ, for one thing. But there were some who did. There were those who recognized the presence of the Almighty in the temple that day and wasted no time laying their needs and their wants before him. It was a special group of people. Did you notice that one passage right in the middle of the text? "Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." In the Old Testament, Moses prophesied that the vast majority of the people of Israel would turn away from Christ and would reject him as their Savior. But he did say that there would always be a remnant, just a few of who were God's chosen people who would turn to the Lord and who would trust in him as their righteousness. Time was running out for the Jewish people. It was for very good reason that the Bible warns us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near." God is a patient and a long-suffering God, but God's patience has its limits. God's offer of salvation does not last forever, and the Jews in our text for today had arrived at the point where they were only 4 short days from the crucifixion of Christ. There were still, even at this late date, however, a few who were seeking the Lord. A few humble people, afflicted and blind and lame, who brought in simple faith their prayers to Jesus. And they were not disappointed. They soon found out that God's house is a place where prayers are answered. Time is running out for our world of today, too. Sin and depravity and corruption seem to be getting worse and worse, and if you don't believe it, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper or turn on the television. The vast majority have turned away from the Lord in indifference. But you know, there's a day coming when no one will be indifferent to Jesus Christ. On the day of judgment, 1 million desperate prayers will suddenly be offered up, but by then it will be too late. Jesus warned the unbelieving Jews, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. It is late, but it is not too late yet. There is still time to seek and to find the Lord. There is still healing to be found here in God's house for those who will seek him in childlike faith. Are you one of those few? Why is this building such a special place to us? For one reason, it's because it's here that we come to lay our petitions and our wants and our needs before our gracious Lord. And just as he did for those poor, afflicted souls in the temple that day, he hears and answers our prayers too. What is your affliction? Perhaps you're tormented right now with a physical disease that afflicts you or some kind of condition. Maybe it's something else for you. Maybe for you it's bouts of depression or the loneliness of old age. Perhaps you're a parent who's going through the trouble of dealing with a difficult child, a son or a daughter. Or maybe you're a spouse who is in the throes of marital problems. Whatever it is, you've come to the right place to find relief. Jesus loves to answer prayers, and the bigger the better. As the hymn says, you are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. And of course, there's one affliction that all of us share, and that's the disease of sin. Each week here in God's house, we lift our voices together to pray for healing from that dread disease. We say, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And as often as we ask it, our Lord grants us his pardon. Think of what a miracle that is. Here at Ascension Lutheran Church, every Sunday morning, we in humility and shame confess our sins. And as soon as we do, God applies the shed blood of his Son Jesus to them. He erases them from our record. He forgives and he forgets. No conditions, no strings attached. For Jesus' sake, our sins are simply wiped out. The gnawing guilt is gone. And in its place is a blessed peace, the peace of knowing that through Christ you are right with God. You know that you have healing and joy in the Savior who won for you remission of sins on the cross. As Isaiah says in his familiar 53rd chapter, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. God's house is indeed a very special place. It's here that our Lord silences the distracting, raucous cries of commerce. And it's here that Jesus answers our prayers for healing. But you know, there's something else too. Here Jesus graciously receives the praise of his people, and that's important. God's house is a very special place because it's here where praise is accepted. Parents, have you ever noticed the unexpected wisdom that often issues forth from the mouth of a child? Sometimes a little child will blurt forth some profound truth that nevertheless has remained hidden from all the grown-ups around him. That's what happened that day in the temple. While all the grown-ups were over here finding fault with Jesus and criticizing him, there was another group, a group of little children over here who were singing Jesus' praises at the top of their lungs. Of course, this was something the leaders of the Jews couldn't stand for. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? I love that part. How hypocritical can you possibly get? Here the chief priests were perfectly happy to put up with all the raucous noise of doves and sheep and goats right there in God's house. But as soon as a few little children started singing Jesus' praise, oh my goodness, the noise hurt their ears. And so exactly in our day. There are so many churches today where it seems like any noise will be put up with accept the beautiful sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In today's churches, preachers are allowed to discuss any topic under the sun, from current events to social justice to alternate lifestyles, as long as they stay off the topics of sin and grace. But God's house is the place where sin must clearly be identified, as Jesus did that day. And God's house is the place where Christ must clearly be identified as the only salvation and the only way to escape the consequences of sin. He is the promised Messiah, the only possible means of salvation for poor sinners. And if grown-up, intelligent men won't give him the praise he deserves, why then he'll accept it from the mouths of little children. The chief priest said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" When those little children sang their glad hosannas to Jesus, he didn't stifle them or tell them to be quiet. He graciously accepted their praise. The same is true of us. When we come here in childlike faith to the Lord's house to offer our prayers and our praises to our Heavenly Father in childlike faith, our Lord does not turn us away. Unworthy though we are and flawed though even our praises may be, our Lord gladly accepts the praise of our lips, and it pleases him. When you stop and think about it, what could possibly be a more pleasant experience than for a group of people like us, sinners though we are, to gather together and to hear the good news of salvation again, and to talk about salvation and learn more about our salvation and praise the one who has provided salvation for us? What could be more pleasant? The Bible says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And of course, attending worship is so much more than a responsibility and a duty. It's where we come to receive these wonderful benefits from God, not just for us, but for our family as well. If you could be instantly transported to any place on earth, where would you go? Is there one place that's so important and special to you that just being there would supply you with perfect happiness and contentment? You might think that there exists no such place on earth. But King David would have disagreed with you. There was one place he loved so much that his only desire was to be there continually. By now you've guessed the place I'm talking about. David said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." God grant to each of us the same zeal toward God's house, for it is indeed a very special place. Amen. Please rise.